Last Sunday, we looked at that wonderful situation in the New Testament where Jesus took 5 small loaves and 2 fish that a young boy had with him, and Jesus used that miraculously to feed 5,000 men. And you might remember the primary point that I made last week was the fact that it was the boy who was blessed because he gave. It was the boy who would have lost out if he didn't give. Jesus would have found another way to feed the 5,000 people, but it's the boy who would have lost out if he hadn't shared what he had. And so the point was, when Jesus asks us to give him something or some area of our life, perhaps, it is for our own good. We are the ones who are blessed. And conversely, the opposite is true. When we withhold something from Jesus, we are ultimately hurting ourselves. Well, the same principle applies in other areas of life and in other areas of giving. And I'm thinking about the area of forgiving. Someone once said, to err is human, to forgive is out of the question. Not a very good motto. But the fact of the matter is that we don't always forgive. And when we don't forgive, we are only hurting ourselves. And that's a pretty hard thing to accept, because we've all been hurt at times, often multiple times. And when we've been so deeply hurt, especially when it's at the hands of somebody who is close to us, the reality is that we experience pain. And the closer somebody is, the harder it becomes. We might not say it out loud, but we sure feel it in our heart that to forgive is out of the question. But as you might suspect by now, that isn't what Jesus teaches us, is it? We're going to take a look this morning in Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 15 and down to verse 22. If you have your Bibles, feel free to follow along with me. I'll be reading from the New International Version. Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 15. Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if 2 of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where 2 or 3 come together in my name, there I am with them. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Well, this morning we're going to talk on the topic of forgiveness, because quite frankly, we all need to forgive as much as we all need to experience forgiveness. In fact, the only time you might not need to forgive someone else is if you've never interacted with someone else. If you live as a hermit, then you might be okay. But if you go to work, you're going to need to forgive and be forgiven. If you go to school, you're going to need to forgive and be forgiven. If you go to church, you're going to need to forgive and be forgiven. If you live with your parents or your children or your spouse, you're going to need to forgive and be forgiven. If you're single and have a roommate, you're going to need to forgive and be forgiven. As long as there are people in your life, and I hope there are, you will need to forgive and be forgiven. It's guaranteed. If we spend enough time with someone, no matter how wonderful they are, no matter how much you love them, no matter what anything else, sooner or later, you're going to need to forgive one another. In fact, Gary Smalley, in one of his books said that people don't fall out of love, they fall out of forgiveness. Gary Thomas. They don't fall out of love, they fall out of forgiveness. They stop forgiving one another. We need to forgive. The Bible obviously says so much about forgiveness, how we need to forgive again and again, and that forgiveness must come from the heart. We can't hold a grudge. We could spend a whole day easily looking at the biblical teachings on forgiveness. No matter where you look, Old Testament, New Testament, the scriptures teach us that forgiveness is essential. We remember the time when Peter came and asked Jesus, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me?" We read that just now in Matthew chapter 18. And he suggested up to 7 times. And Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. And then after that, Jesus went on to tell a parable of the unmerciful servant, a story that showed that forgiveness is not just a good idea, but that it is critical, that it is absolutely essential. And the words that Jesus closed that parable with echo in our ears in verse 35, Matthew 18, 35. Jesus said, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother from the heart." And the treatment he's talking about there, if you read that passage, is not a very nice thing. So it's essential. It's critical. It's not optional. There's no room here to misunderstand Jesus. He's making it absolutely clear. I can imagine Jesus saying to us, if he was here in person, he's saying, "Which part of must forgive don't you understand?" Of course, we make all kinds of reasons why it's hard to forgive. In fact, forgiveness is so important that I often say that there's 2 scripture verses that are especially meaningful about forgiveness because they put forgiveness even more important than worship and prayer. And I've referred to these 2 verses before, and I'm sure I will again, because they say so much about the importance of forgiveness. The first is in Mark chapter 11, and then the second is in Matthew chapter 5. Mark chapter 11, verse 25, it says, "And when you stand praying," you're busy praying, which is a great thing, "when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." Wow, we really need to write that down and stick that on our fridges. That is so important. And yet we slough it off. But my situation is different. Forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. And then in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, it says, "If you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there." Abandon it. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. It is so important, Jesus says, that even above taking time to offer your gift, to worship the Lord when you're in prayer, if there's something wrong, whether you have a problem with someone else or if someone else has a problem with you, both situations are explained in these two verses. Either way, Jesus says, make it a priority to deal with it. Why? Because we cannot have our relationship with God the way it needs to be unless we forgive our brother from our heart. Or to put it another way, our relationship with God is severely hindered at best when there is unforgiveness in our heart. And yeah, certainly forgiveness is very difficult. Sometimes it's very painful. When you've been hurt by someone who's been especially close to you, it gets really tough. But I would just say that Jesus knew about that as well. He experienced that as well. Like you, Jesus had some people who were especially close to him. Among his closest disciples, the people he spent the most time with were Peter, James, and John. And you know, there was always a little bit of friendly competition between those three guys, and sometimes not so friendly. They wanted to each impress Jesus, you know. They wanted to be one up over the others, over the other two in that little circle that they were. And that's probably why in the scripture that we read a little earlier, Peter had suggested that maybe he should forgive up to seven times, because he knew that the law required three. And I can't help but wonder if Peter was trying to show how much better he was than everybody else, because, you know, I'm suggesting we do it up to seven times, you know. And he probably looked at James and John and said, "Can you beat that?" And Jesus, of course, he says, forget seven times. Try 77 times or 70 times seven. And it's not a stretch of the imagination to think that Peter, perhaps with that same spirit of competition, decides to make the bold claim a little later in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 33, when he says to Jesus, "Even if all fall away on account of you," Peter says, "I never will." And again, I could imagine him looking at James and John and saying, "What about you? What can you say?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Well, we know how that turned out for Peter. It didn't turn out very well, because he did disown Jesus three times. But notice the relationship that Jesus had with Peter. That's what's so striking about this. Peter wasn't just an acquaintance of Jesus. He wasn't just a co-worker of some kind that spent a bit of time with. He wasn't some random guy that bumped into Jesus that day. Peter was as close as a person could be, a close personal companion to Jesus. He was in his most inner circle. It was his closest friends. And look at how Peter denies Jesus. He doesn't just slip up a little bit. You know, sometimes you say something that you don't mean, and you don't think clearly, and you say something. Maybe you want to get out of a jam, and without thinking, you say something that isn't just right. And you, "Oh man, did I really? Sorry, I didn't really mean that." That's not what's happened here. Peter is absolutely determined. In his three-time denial, not just once, but three times, he denied Jesus so strongly. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 74, it says that Peter began to call down curses on himself and he swore to them, I don't know the man. This was no simple slip of the tongue. And if anything could hurt, that certainly would have. If anyone ever had a reason to unfriend somebody, it would have been Jesus. Block that guy. Unfriend him. But of course, that's not how Jesus responds, is it? Fast forward a little bit to after Jesus' resurrection, and Jesus has already appeared to the disciples, and one morning they're having breakfast, and then Jesus has something to say in John chapter 21, beginning at verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. And again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now, Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. You know, this takes place, according to verse 9 of that same chapter, while they were sitting around a charcoal fire. And there's only one other time in the New Testament that a charcoal fire is mentioned. That's on Good Friday, when in the situation where Peter had denied Jesus three times. And so this takes place around a very similar setting, almost to remind Peter of what Jesus is truly getting at. And the fact that Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? Even though it hurt Peter at first, he wondered what's going on here. I'm sure it wasn't long before Peter realized what Jesus was actually getting at. You see, Peter had denied Jesus three times so strongly while standing around a charcoal fire. And here and now, Jesus is giving opportunity to Peter to affirm his commitment to him again three times and again around a charcoal fire. And the point is simply this, that Jesus not only forgave Peter, but he also gave him the opportunity to be restored. Did Peter deserve it? Oh, absolutely not. He didn't even deserve to be trusted by anyone ever again. But I can't help but note that instead of being put on probation or being demoted, you can still be my disciple, but not one of the inner guys. You got to be a little bit further out now. Instead of being completely tossed out and rejected, Peter is actually given the opportunity to be restored and given a place of leadership. You see, our tendency, when someone lets us down, and I can understand this, I do. Our tendency is to hold their wrongdoing against them. We remember it. Sometimes we remember it for years. And even though we might have some form of a relationship with them, we put conditions on it so that we don't get hurt again. And I understand that. And I'm not about to tell you how you should feel about those who have hurt you, but Jesus, as our example, shows us that at the very least, we must not only forgive, but whenever possible, we need to provide an opportunity for restoration as well. Now, let me be clear. I'm not talking about someone who's been abused, making themselves vulnerable to an abuser again and again. What I am suggesting is that whenever possible, we must do everything we can do instead of rejection, instead of writing someone off, we need to, at the very least, leave the door open for reconciliation and restoration. I realize that's hard, but I want to encourage you this morning to take a moment to think about who there is in your life that you need to forgive, and who is there in your life that you might need to ask for forgiveness. And then to take a moment and consider what you can do to try to keep the doors open for reconciliation. At the very least, not to slam them shut further. And ask God. And you might say, Pastor Norman, what you're asking is too much. You don't know the pain I've experienced. And you're right. I would be asking too much if it was me doing the asking, and I don't know the pain you've experienced. But Jesus said, by faith, we could move mountains. Moving mountains. Is it possible that Jesus is talking about mountains of pain and brokenness, resentment, bitterness? Jesus said that if we ask, we will receive. Do we even ask? Do we dare ask? Why not? Lord, I have been so badly hurt. I am so upset. I am so angry. I am so much pain. I want the worst for that person. But Lord, could you at least help me to change? Help me to see things differently? Help me to forgive? Can we ask him at least? Do we dare ask God to remove the resentment that we have against the ones who have hurt us? Ask and you will receive. Move mountains. And friends, there's only one path to healing, and that is through forgiveness. And back to the point from the beginning, if we refuse to forgive, in the end, we are only hurting ourselves. We are shooting ourselves in the foot. We are hurting ourselves, and we are hurting our relationship with God. And so I want to encourage you today. I really don't know what's happening in your heart, in your life. I'm certainly not pointing at anybody. But if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about a situation, a person, a need in your life that isn't what it needs to be, then maybe today is the day to begin the process to bring wholeness and healing and forgiveness. Maybe today is the day that you need to step out and in prayer ask God to help you be able to do what you might think is otherwise impossible. For with God, all things are possible. Friends, it might be the toughest thing you've ever done, but I could assure you that it will also be the most rewarding thing that you will ever do by the grace of God. Let's take a moment in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do come to you today, and Father God, we know just how important this whole area of forgiveness is. We know how important it is to you that you sent your Son, Jesus, to die for our sins so that we could be forgiven, that we could be made a new creation. And Lord, we know that you call us to forgive others if we hope to receive that forgiveness from you. But Lord, I also know that there are some very deep wounds that people experience, some very deep hurts. And sometimes we want to close the door on forgiveness. But Father God, I pray by your grace that we would open that door, that we would begin to even ask you to show us how we can begin that process, what we could do, how we could help. And maybe it just begins with prayer. And I pray, Father God, for those with us this morning, online or in person, Lord, if there's any who have been hurt, Lord, I pray, Father God, for your special grace upon them. I pray, Father God, that you would show them what they can do, Lord, if there is anything they can. I pray, Lord, that you would lead them. And Lord, if we have hurt others, when we have hurt others, may we have the grace to seek forgiveness ourselves, Lord God. Father, help us to be one as you are one with us, Lord God, that we may not hurt our relationship with you. Bless each one, Father God, I pray. Bring to mind, Lord, what we need to do, and may your Spirit give us the strength and the grace to respond in accordance to your will, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.